This podcast is brought to you by our Father's Day special. Get Dad something he'll love. Get him a Buy American, Support America t-shirt. If you buy today, you get one of Howie's awesome books for free. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click the banner.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Were you meaning to criticize Vice President Biden for wearing a mask yesterday?
No, Biden can wear a mask. I thought that was fine. I wasn't criticizing him at all. Why would I ever do a thing like that?
Do I detect a note of sarcasm?
Are you kidding me? This baby is off the charts.
He's trying to belittle you for wearing a mask.
He's a fool, an absolute fool. To talk that way. This macho stuff. Presidents are supposed to lead, not engage in folly and be falsely masculine.
Come on, Donald. Come on, man. How many push-ups you want to do here, pal?
I would like to be able to be back in high school and just have he and I in a room.
I hope I've demonstrated I can take a punch. And if I'm on nominee, he's going to understand what punches mean.
And you want to check my shape on? Let's do push-ups together, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
The Delaware used to be part of Pennsylvania.
That's right. But we declared our independence on December the 7th, by the way. You know, it's not just D-Day. On December the 7th, it's not just D-Day.
A date which will live in infamy.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Knowing it wouldn't make a difference, he jokingly asked if being married to me might move him up in the queue. He thought it might get a laugh. It didn't. And to be honest, I wasn't laughing either when it was relayed to me. My husband made a failed attempt at humor.
Look, everybody knows I botched a joke.
Unchained and unstoppable.
So are the people there just not worried about it, Cal? Are they not worried about their own personal safety?
I haven't met anybody who is. But you can see, nobody's wearing them. Nobody's...
Including the cameraman.
There you go, including the cameraman. Yeah.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. We got a lot of stuff to get to, and we'll take some calls this hour. And I wanted to play just a couple more of these Biden cuts. I haven't even heard this one. I look at Taylor's description. Biden seems extra sleepy with Tom Wolf. I don't know how we can tell that on a audio, but I'm assuming we can, right, Taylor?
I did play it last hour, but you'll get more context for that description.
Okay.
And as a governor, you and your colleagues are leading. Proud to be joined by you today, Tom, to discuss the coronavirus how it's impacting your state.
Your state?
I mean, is that the enthusiasm you'd want if you're being introduced by the presumptive Democrat nominee president?
No. Whoever I'm interviewing, I try to put a little more oomph into it, right? I mean, that's the least you owe your audience and your subject, right? Anyway, this is a funny one. This is in the intro, but you got to understand this one. Joe Biden totally bollocks up all the dates. I didn't even realize this, but Delaware originally seceded or left Pennsylvania on what date, Taylor?
June 15th, 1776.
June 15th, not December 7th. But so listen to it in that context. Cut 7.
What a remark. That Delaware used to be part of Pennsylvania.
That's right, but we declared our independence on December the 7th, by the way. You know, it's not just D-Day. Anyway.
He's the only man I know that could confuse three dates in one.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Who was it? I think Johnny Carson used to say, or somebody used to say, Ed Sullivan is the only guy that could count to three and get two of the numbers wrong. Well, meet Joe Biden.
Let's play the one. This was from last night, and I think it's going to be in the morning minute tomorrow. But this is one where there's a very lengthy pause. And I wasn't sure last night. It was almost to the point where I was going to say, did something go wrong on the tape, or did we lose the feed or something? But no, it was just Joe taking a break here. Cut 4.
The president is trying to paint a picture of you as somebody who's too old to be president and that you're missing a step. How are you going to combat that?
Watch me. Look, I mean, talk about a guy who's missing a step. He's missing something, man. I don't want to get down into giving him nicknames, but this is a fellow who looks like he's having trouble controlling his own emotions.
You don't want to give him a nickname? Didn't he give him a nickname last week, Tweety? Wasn't that his nickname for him? Maybe he's forgotten that, too. Maybe he thinks that was back in the 70s.
Why have they failed to get this money out to the folks who desperately need it to stay afloat? Is it incompetence? Corruption? Trump was out there tweeting again this morning. I call him President Tweety.
I'm not going to give him a nickname. President Tweety. I'm not going to give President Tweety a nickname. 844-500-4242. Someone says they're eating in the parking lot at Ken's place in Scarborough, Maine. That's in, I don't know if it's in, I think it's Cumberland County, but it's either York or Cumberland. And this says the place is packed. I mean, Dave Wilcox, who owns it, he's a friend of ours, and we love Ken's place, and I've been going there my entire life. I love it. But he's in better shape because he's got the huge parking lot. He's got the outdoor tables. But I can remember when I was a kid, he didn't have any indoor dining, and he would love to have that open again on June 1st. I mean, this is so bad. And I know some people are still texting me and saying, you know, they think it's a good comeuppance for all the people in Cumberland and York counties, especially, and I guess Androscoggin, but mainly Cumberland and York, who voted for Janet Mills. But do you think that the people who voted for Janet Mills in those counties are going to suffer as much as the people who didn't vote for Janet Mills, the people who actually have jobs in these restaurants? I'm thinking they probably were less likely to be voting for Janet Mills. The people who voted for Janet Mills are the people with trust funds, who work for nonprofits, who moved up because they couldn't afford the Brooklyn or the South Boston rents. And they said they live in the hipster district in Portland. Anyway, 844-500-4242. Just want to give you a little news. There's some interesting crime news that we've been kind of overlooking. State police. This story is actually on some of the national wires. Man walks away from over $130,000 in cash at Logan Airport after questioning. A missed flight, suspicious destination, and changing amounts of U.S. currency led a would-be passenger walking away from more than $130,000 in cash at Logan Airport over the weekend. This passenger, unnamed, booked a flight at Logan for a destination unnamed, known as a source area for illegal narcotics. He missed the flight and then booked a new one. And so he's putting his luggage through the security gate. And they noticed there's a lot of cash, kind of a Whitey Bulger situation when he was going to Montreal, right? When questioned by TSA, the passenger claimed he was carrying about $1,500. Could I have the buzzer, please, Taylor? $1,500? That amount changed when Mass State police troopers were brought in to investigate. Then he said he had between $40,000 and $50,000. When detectives were brought in, he changed the amount again to somewhere between $80,000 and $85,000. The final currency count, $138,980. You know who figured it out? K-9 Officer Duke, who appears to be a bloodhound from the picture. He was alerted to the odor of narcotics on the man's belongings.
A beautiful dog. A talented dog.
God bless Duke. Rather than sign a receipt for the money so it could possibly be reclaimed later. Yeah, right. State police say the man left the building and walked away. I think that was the one smart move he made all day. Here's another one. This is out on the turnpike in Charlton.
I'm betting he's glad they didn't release his name. I'm sure the person who's looking for money knows who he is, but he doesn't want anybody else looking for him.
Taylor, how many names do you think that guy had?
I'm going to say at least four, two of them hyphenated.
Right. How many EBT cards do you think he had? At least probably two or three. Speaking of which, the FBI seized 30 kilos of cocaine following a traffic stop of a tractor trailer Sunday in Charlton, according to court documents. State police troopers arrested Javier Robledo Perez of Dallas, Texas. I don't think he knows my daughter. After they found about 30 brick-shaped objects wrapped in black plastic in the truck's cab, court documents said. They pulled a trailer, with a tractor trailer with Texas registration at the Charlton Service Plaza on Mass Turnpike after the truck was being driven erratically. 30 kilos. So that's the police news update here for the time being. 844-500-4242. When we come back, we'll take some calls. We have an amazing letter from the chairman of the Massachusetts Republican Party, and he demands, or the entire committee demands, that the state be reopened. And it's pretty interesting stuff. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
They call him the Trash Man, but we'll call him Captain Howie Carr.
Hi, this is Val from Longmeadow, Mass.
Hi, this is Tony and Pietra from Havel, Massachusetts.
This is Murney in Fairfax County, Virginia, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. Give them a call to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, including peace of mind, by calling now. Call them today at 800-912-2300. And with Orion, you'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should Congress reapprove the reauthorization of the secret FISA courts?
No! No more secret courts. What could possibly go wrong?
93% say no.
All right. 844-500-4242. Jason, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jason.
I'm going to try to be as quick as I can. I drive truck for a living. I'm currently in New York. I've been to New Jersey, the hot zone. I've been Canada since this whole thing has started. My girlfriend works security Walmart in Waterville, and before the mask all came about, so we should have been doomed by the coronavirus. And went to the protest 3 weeks ago in Augusta, Maine, and I saw Governor Paul LePage at the car, but I had a news, Channel 8 News was there, and I had an interview with him. And they, I said, what time will that be on? They go, oh, 6 o'clock. And I turned it on at 6 o'clock just to see, you know, if they'd put me on. And because I said we wanted the truth and we didn't want to be lied to, they didn't air it. And then the third thing real quick, what good is a president if he can't override our state governors?
You know, I mean, we come back to this recurring point, Jason. We live in a federal system, you know. I mean, it's the 10th Amendment. Anything the feds can't do goes to the states or something like that. I'm not that up on the 10th Amendment when you get right down to it. But, I mean, what do you want him to do?
Basically, look at, you know, the numbers. I mean, if you trust any numbers, I don't even know what numbers you trust. But I live in Kennebec County area, and I had this disagreement with somebody because they're up in Penobscot, and we raise stock cars. And the reason Penobscot County is not opened up is because it's in the community. And I said, well, that makes no sense. My theory is, if it's in the community, it should be more highly spread then. So
they have some nursing homes. Isn't that what it's all about in Penobscot County? And they're going to, by the way, Penobscot County is going to open up on June 1st.
They're supposed to be. supposed to, but based on what you just told me about what Janet Mills did, she waits till the last minute, and that's why people are getting upset. She waits till the last minute to come out with her new plans. And so we're hoping and being optimistic, but she seems to just do whatever she wants. And Rick Savage, you know Rick Savage real well. And
right,
I don't know what
right.
he's...
Sunday River Brewing.
Again, I think. Yeah, I think he got his permits pulled again because his employees weren't wearing masks.
God.
And then she opens up the courts for herself but doesn't open them up for anybody else. And that's what I'm saying. At what point, I mean, somebody has to be able to trump her. Everybody has a boss. And yes, we vote people in, but unless you have $1 million to sue somebody or a lawyer that's willing to take on a case, but she supposedly has all these lawsuits against her, and I don't know of any verdict of it.
It takes a while, and you get a victory like the guy did in that court in Illinois that we were talking about earlier with Judge McHaney saying that Pritzker had overruled his authority, and so then the state will just go into the next level of court and get a temporary restraining order pending another hearing, and the businessman named Bailey in this case will still be shut down. I don't know the answer, Jason. I mean, it's just that we have to learn to be more careful about who we vote into office. And again, I would never have voted for Janet Mills. You probably wouldn't have either. But, I mean, our fellow citizens have got to pay a little more attention and realize that you don't want to elect these kind of little tyrants or people who have the potential to be tyrants. You want small government people. You want people who believe in individual liberties and not the power of the state, who don't believe in the power of the state. That's who you want. Thanks for the call, Jason. Bill, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Howie, how you doing? Hey, I live up here in Brunswick, and it's funny. You know, you can go across the river into Topsom, into Saginaw County, and you can go to lunch, you can go to dinner. But we had gone out on Friday night, and we went to dinner, and there was 10 people in the restaurant. And
really?
Then we went for breakfast on Saturday, and there was 6 of us in the restaurant, and this place is usually packed. You're talking like 90 people, 100 people.
Why is that?
At any given time.
Why?
And I owned a restaurant up here, but we decided not even to open this year. So I ended up going back to truck driving. But we just said, you know, forget it, because by the time you get, you know, done with everything, it's not even going to be worth it. And there was a post that came up on Facebook, and somebody posted all the businesses that are closed in the Mid-Coast area. And as of a couple of weeks ago, it was up to 32 businesses that are permanently closed.
Wow. So how many people did you have, Bill, how many people did you have working in your restaurant?
Yeah, what's that?
How many people did you have working in your restaurant?
It was me, my wife, and my kids. So it wasn't huge. It's a mobile barbecue restaurant that we opened seasonally, but we decided not even to open this year. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, by the time you get done with food and everything now, you can't even get half of the meats and stuff that we wanted to get.
Right.
So, we decided,
so what are your kids
going to
do? What are your kids going to do for the summer?
My kids have gone. They've all gotten regular jobs. They're CNAs and stuff, so they went back to work.
Wow. It's just a shame, isn't it? I mean, Maine is such a fun place in the summer. So is Cape Cod. And, you know, it's just the whole coast of New England is just a great place to be and a fun place to be. And if you're a kid, you can make some money and set aside, you know, money for college, hang out with your friends. And it's all gone this year, isn't it?
Yeah. I just feel bad for these businesses. And it's funny because my kids are like, oh, and I tell my kids, I'm like, life as you know it has changed. I said, because by the time all this is over, say it goes away, you know, in a month, I said, all these businesses are going to be gone.
Right. I know down in Massachusetts, one of the heads of the retail association said if this goes on much longer, 30% of the businesses, at least in Massachusetts, are going to be gone. 30%. And every week it lingers. It's a vacation for the hacks, but it's just more businesses gone.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Ann, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ann.
Yeah, hi. So I just want to know, where the hell are all of the chambers of commerce in Massachusetts? You know, there's 351 cities and towns in this state, so I would imagine there's chambers.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're regional, but yeah, you're right. There's the South Shore Chamber. There's the Worcester Chamber, which is run by Crash Murray, the former lieutenant governor. Yeah, they're the Boston Chamber of Commerce, I guess, it's run by a guy named Rooney, a kind of a career hack. But he's been pushing back a little bit. But you're right. I mean, they haven't really been out front, have they?
No, and the purpose that a small business, a local business, joins a chamber is for the chamber to almost act like a union. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Where they, you know, the strength in numbers. And it's been crickets, absolute crickets. And I would just like to add one more thing. When one asked the question, why are these governors and mayors doing these horrible, draconian shutdowns? The only answer is they either are incredibly stupid or incredibly sinister. And really, that's all. Those are the only two options that one has when you're looking at motive. That's all I have to say.
How about, Anne, can I give you one more? How about incredibly craven and frightened? I think that describes Baker, Parker, doesn't it?
You know what? That describes him because he's a rhino. I think when it comes to the Democrats, I think it's their sinister motive to shut down all these businesses and make everyone dependent on the government, and then they can just tax the few. It's really hard, but I think you're right. And it's like Baker is craven. It's vile. He's really, I can't wait until 2022, the Mass GOP convention. I hope he better not even throw his name in the ring, because I'm going to be one of the delegates, and it is, trust, he will get nowhere. I mean, when you look at how close Scott Lively got at the last convention, right?
Yeah.
37%. That's not chicken scratch when you
No, I know.
Scott
and Scott Lively had no money. He was not an incumbent. And, you know, he was carrying baggage, Ann. And people still gave him over a third of the vote in the primary. You're right. That's a good, this is a good segue into my next segment here. Jim Lyons, the Republican state chairman, he had a meeting of the committee last night, the Republican state committee, and they drafted a letter. And this is a hell of a letter. I tweeted it out earlier in the day. And I'm just going to read you some of it. And a lot of it is just exactly what Ann was just saying. This is, Dear Governor Baker, this is Jim Lyons' letter, but it's signed by 300 officials, including three-quarters of the Republican State Committee. Dear Governor Baker, you've no doubt noticed how prominent Massachusetts Democrats have been quick to criticize any and all efforts to allow the reopening of the Commonwealth's businesses. U.S. Rep. Ayanna Pressley recently took to social media to claim that policy decisions that offer a false choice between public health and economic recovery will hurt our communities. While still other Democrats on Beacon Hill have criticized your administration directly, accusing you of, quote, deciding how to balance death and the economy. By now, it should be clear, says Jim Lyons in the Republican State Committee, the shutdown of private businesses, large and small, has given the Democrat Party, the party of government overreach, a political boost. This disastrous pandemic has led to unconstitutional decrees being set in stone almost overnight, creating what is unquestionably a dream scenario for the Democrats. Stifle independence, entrepreneurship, and personal responsibility, and you create a world dependent upon the state. We write to you today, again, this is the Republican State Committee, to urge you to push back publicly on the Democrats' demands to keep Massachusetts shuttered. And then he makes a point that I've been making for a while. You know, Baker is pretending that, you know, he can keep the state safe. But listen to what they write now in the next paragraph. We write to you today to remind you that the most regulated businesses in the Commonwealth, our nursing homes, also happen to account for more than 61% of all COVID-19 related deaths. I'm sure Charlie Baker didn't like to hear that. That's probably why all the hacks that are still remaining on the committee refused to sign the letter. I'll be giving you a list soon of who they are and how much money they make from Faker Baker, Tal Duvall, Charlie Parker. We write to you today, says the Republican State Committee, to convey the frustrations of small business owners who have had to padlock their doors while their big box competitors across the street are allowed to remain open. We write to you today to remind you, as if he has to be reminded, you know, you have to remind a Republican governor, that the Massachusetts business community lives and breathes on the ambitions, creativity, and dreams of its residents, but will die a painful death if it succumbs to the whims of an unelected bureaucracy. These business owners realize the importance of maintaining a hygienic environment. If the public does not trust them and their products, no amount of government intervention will keep them afloat. Then you talk about the decline in tax revenues. This precipitous drop in revenue can only be halted by the reopening of our businesses. Meanwhile, out-of-work business owners must still somehow find a way to pay rent. The Commonwealth's workforce must eventually have to pay an income and property tax as well as take care of their families. 10 weeks of lockdowns have been enough. We flattened the curve, prevented our hospitals from being overwhelmed, and sacrificed our liberties. We've watched as a hyper-partisan media have misfired on their forecasts of doom. To rebuild our economy, the solution is not more regulations, but less bureaucratic interference. Americans, especially here in Massachusetts, continue to battle this deadly pandemic and are more than capable of continuing to open the economy safely. And after that scorching letter, Jim Lyons closes by saying in the best collegial legislative tradition, we support your efforts to continue to aggressively fight the virus and to continue to reopen Massachusetts. That's a good letter.
Did this just happen?
Yeah, just happened. It just happened. Incidentally, one more thing here. You know, the governor has been saying all along with the Holyoke Nursing Home that he, you know, that they didn't get any news until I think it was a Sunday night in March. The mayor of Holyoke, Alex Morse, called pay-to-play Polito and told him that there was an outburst, an outbreak in the Holyoke Nursing Home. There's 74 dead now, veterans, and so. He's always said, well, we didn't know anything till that Sunday night. We didn't know anything till that. He's very precise until even yesterday. I can't find the sound cut right now, but even yesterday he said, we didn't know anything until that Sunday night. We were not told until Sunday night. So as he was saying that yesterday at his press conference at the State House, the lawyer for the superintendent of the suspended superintendent of the Holyoke Soldiers Home, the former DA, Bennett, was holding a press conference on behalf of his nephew, the suspended superintendent, Bennett Walsh is his name, the superintendent's name. And he laid out all the documents, all the emails and texts that his nephew, the superintendent, had sent to the state for a week before Charlie Parker said he knew anything about it. That there was 58 pages of text. So you could we linked to them in the Herald today. The Globe wouldn't link to it because it makes their man Charlie Parker look bad. But it's out there that the superintendent was keeping the state totally in the loop for a week before Charlie Parker said it. Now remember this. I'm setting this. That's the way I'm setting this cut up. Charlie Parker, until yesterday, said he didn't know anything until that Sunday night. I think it was March 22nd. But today, after these 58 pages of documents showing that the state had been informed at every step of the way, and that his earlier statements were inoperative, as the Nixon administration used to say during Watergate, he changed his tune a little bit about the precise time when he learned that there was a problem. Cut 17.
Well, I've said for a while now, and Alex Morse, who's the mayor in Holyoke, who told the Lieutenant Governor, Secretary Sutters, and me on a Sunday night at the end of March what the story was. But I've said for quite a while that I want to wait and see the results of Mark Perlstein's investigation. We hired him 2 days after we were made aware of the impending and exploding tragedy there. And there's a lot of back and forth, which is not surprising given the significance of what happened there. But I'm waiting for Mark's report.
keeps calling him Mark. I mean, how are we supposed to think? You know, someone's this guy is supposedly a former federal prosecutor. You know, he's a hard-nosed G-man. And Tal Duvall is calling him Mark, like they were in the same fraternity together. They were in the Priscillian Club, Hasty Pudding, at Harvard or something. What a fraud. 844-500-4242-978. Lyons' letter is not nearly strong enough. They need to toss Baker out of the party. There is no reason to tar the rest of the party with that moron. I think the mass GOP response is a little too late and actually gives Tal Duvall cover by blaming things on the Democrats. I mean, they're in the same party. I mean, that's a pretty strong letter for a state committee to send a sitting governor of their own party. They had to go back and forth a lot to get that much in there. And remember, a lot of the people on that committee are hacks. Baker hacks. Not that they voted for this, but, you know, some of them are state reps. Not that the state reps voted for it. But this is the sense of the committee, as they say. Tony, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, Howie, you know, when I read all these dystopian sci-fi novels as a teenager, you know, I never expected that I would end up living in one. let me tell you what happened to me and my girl when we went shopping today, okay? We went shopping in Portland, Maine at a well-known grocery store that shall remain unnamed.
Yes.
We line up, and the woman asks if we have anything to cover our face with. And we explain, you know, like you did, you know, I'm sorry, we both have asthma. We can't wear masks. That's fine. We go in, and we do our shopping. Everybody is wearing a mask, and everybody's looking at us like we have three heads. So we step up to the counter and, you know, wait for them to take our groceries, and I step up to do my... I like to bag my own groceries. So I'm told I can't bag my own groceries. And if I want to bag my own groceries, they won't bring me out.
Just, what?
That just tells me you get free groceries, right?
No, unfortunately not. Then to cap it off, me and my girl go to a large sporting goods retailer in Scarborough, right?
Yeah.
And my girl goes in and buys a shirt, but I'm talking with a woman there, right, who basically pulled the same thing. She wanted to go into this sporting goods retailer without a mask because she's had severe asthma. And the person guarding the door at the sporting goods retailer said, "You cannot come in without a mask, and if you attempt to come in without a mask, I will call the police and have you removed."
Oh, God. And I guess stories like this, this is why those restaurants in Brunswick that the earlier caller was talking about are deserted, because nobody wants to jump ugly with somebody like that, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. This lady, you know, called the National Customer Service to say, "You can't do this. This is a violation of the American Disabilities Act."
Right.
And
throw in HIPAA, too. I throw in HIPAA if I have to.
Yeah.
I want to see your papers. No, HIPAA says I don't have to show you my papers.
It's getting scary here, Howie. Just thought I'd let you know.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Your papers, please.
I'm staying here in free America, I'll tell you. You know, my father was the 13th child. He was the last child born, and I was born when he was 47. So I heard from my aunts and uncles about the Spanish flu of the 1918, 1919. And the most popular member of that family was my uncle Charlie Carr, and he was an engineer or something, and he'd just gotten married, and he had a young kid, Charlie Carr Jr., and Spanish flu came by and killed Charlie, his wife, and Charlie Jr. And you know, my aunts and uncles would talk about him occasionally, and they'd say, yeah, he died in the flu in 1919 or whenever it was. But I mean, there were no stories like that. There were no masks in Portland or anywhere else back then. Nothing shut down. You know, Deerfield Academy, where I went to college, I went to prep school. They apparently in 1919 they extended the winter term vacation for 1 week because it was bad in Sunderland and South Deerfield, where the day students came from. But it wasn't. They had graduation, and I mean that was a terrible. Much that was 10, 20, 30 times worse than this. Ugh, this is ridiculous. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He's New England's talk radio king. He's Howie Carr.
This is Mark in Williston, Vermont.
This is Marie in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Mike from South Attleboro, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Or stop work on roads and bridges. So what does the human cost?
Is anything coming?
No, he's just stunk up the room.
Oh, okay.
Or stop work on roads and bridges. So.
Oh, my God. I heard it more clearly that time. I don't think there can be too much doubt about that one.
Or stop work on roads and bridges. So
that was a wet one.
He cut a swallow well. 774 says, just read this article. Town of Plymouth ticketed 29 cars for parking at Morton Park parking lot. The people were fishing in the pond. The town said you can fish, but you can't park.
Barbaric.
That makes no sense. Yeah, Dan Crenshaw, the congressman from Texas, tweeted out a picture from New Jersey, one of the seaside towns, and it said, fishing allowed, but no sitting while you're fishing. You can't bring a chair. You have to stand.
So you can be in the submarine, but you can't watch the submarine races.
I'm sorry.
Another Joe Biden pastime.
Oh, boy. Okay. 844-500-4242. Sorry we didn't get to all the calls. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 3. I'm Howie Carr.